Before beginning, we are providing a trigger warning for this episode. Thank you.
This is Margaret Cho, and you're listening to the Bicast, podcasting for the bisexual community.
Welcome to the Bicast, a podcast for the bisexual community. We are speaking with Adam Kaiser's father today, William Kaiser. Thank you for joining us. Faith Cheltenham, president of Binet USA, will be joining us in a few minutes. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. First, Mr. Kaiser, on behalf of the entire Bicast crew, Binet USA board of directors, and the entire bisexual community, of course, we offer our sincerest condolences on the loss of your son, Adam. Could we just hear a little bit about Adam?
Sure. Adam, he had his parents, typical kid, loved his music, wearing the beanies and the bracelets. So Adam is, he's a victim of bullying from a young age, about the fourth grade. And tragic bullying, as far as being tied to a pole, shot with an airsoft gun and gasoline poured on him by an 18-year-old. Just because Adam was small. Numerous kids picking on him. Adam, probably when he was about 11, developed depression because of all of it. Received hospital treatment and seemed to do all right for a while, still getting picked on. But what made Adam unique, though, is even though he was getting harassed and bullied and assaulted constantly, he would still jump out to help anybody, whether it's through social media or in person. And he would literally many times come home without a shirt on. And I asked him, "What's your shirt?" "Well, my friend tore theirs and they needed one, so I gave him mine." Literally gave the shirt off his back.
Wow.
Active with the Dragon Pride in Sonoma. Was proud to carry the flag and lead the parade if he had to. He didn't care what other people thought. But the bullying, and as we all know, when you try to help, you get criticism, and he kept getting criticized. Adam's just amazing, always helping anybody any way he could. If you'd meet him, he had his long hair, his bracelets, his rock t-shirt on, loved Slipknot, skinny jeans and his combat boots, but he'd walk right up and say, "Good evening, ma'am. Pleasure to meet you." Just a well-mannered kid. He was just phenomenal. Wasn't a thug, wasn't a criminal, nothing, even though our society looked at him as one. Never stole anything. Mm-hmm. Didn't do drugs and stuff. He was failed. He was failed by our society.
And he had to spend some time in a facility, and that was do you feel like that was a direct relation to what happened to him when he was younger?
Yes. Adam, in Sonoma, California alone, attempted suicide in just over a year, about 13 times, the last one being successful. Numerous accounts of self-harm.
Right.
I can't remember in the last 6 months him going to school for a full day because of it. Some days where he said, "Oh, my stomach hurts." And as a parent, we turn a blind eye to it. He was staying home because, to me now, I realize he didn't want to be picked on. He just wanted a day to relax with no drama. And if I was homeless, I'd sit with him. We talked about it. In Wyoming, his first attempt was he stood in front of a train, and if I understand, about 10 feet before the train got to him, one of his friends jumped and pushed him out of the way, saving his life. He was just at it. He fought all these years.
It's a struggle to survive. Right.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on the Bicast today.
Well, welcome to you.
Welcome, welcome. So, Mr. Kaiser, I always call you Mr. Kaiser, sorry. Mr. Kaiser told me, he's like, "You can call me Bill." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." I've learned so much from the Kaiser family about Adam that I almost see him as like a friend, someone who so many of us in the bi community would have just totally gotten along with and been able to hang out with. So I think that's why I called him Mr. Kaiser, because I'm like, oh, that's what you call your friends, right? But, you know, Bill, you've told us some about, you know, how we lost Adam, how, you know, obviously he was completely failed by society, right? And as far as the getting access to help and getting support, I want to talk a little bit about, if it's okay, if we could talk about his bracelets, right? We have a couple of photos of him wearing all these bracelets. How many bracelets did he have on, you know, on each wrist usually?
Oh, I'd say at least 50. He was very, very proud of them. Under the eyes, you can see the bracelet. He has those sleeves that you put on. Those were to hide his scars. I always reinforced him and told him, it's like, you know, son, you've gone through a lot. Don't be ashamed. Be proud of who you are. He would make those bracelets, you know, as a kind of like a coping tool of his depression and keep his mind off things. And then when he would see somebody or a friend that was upset, whether it was even me, his stepmother, friends, or a stranger, he would take one off and he'd hand it to him. And it shows me towards the end, going from 50 bracelets on each wrist, how many people he might have helped. He was down to probably maybe 10 on each wrist. He'd given that many out in just a short period of time. And he would only give them if the person was special or needed help. But in my son's eyes, everybody was.
Right, right. And that's something that we can do to remember him as well, is, you know, so many of us wear bracelets like that to show off our pride. A lot of times by people, bisexual or pansexual or fluid or queer. Folks, we use buttons, we use T-shirts, right? Because otherwise you won't know if we're bi, because, you know, we might be married or we might have a boyfriend or a wife or a husband or no partner. So I think you had mentioned to me that you had said to Adam that, you know, you're okay with him being bisexual. What did you tell him when he kind of identified and he came out to you?
Well, I still know exactly. We're in a new place. We're in an old place. And we're still on the couch as we did every day when I got off work. Say hi to the family, and we'd hang out and laugh, tease each other and show each other, you know, funny stuff on Facebook. And he told me, he's like, Dad, you know I'm bi, right? I'm like, really? He's like, yeah. Well, are you happy? He's like, yeah. All right, I'm good. He's like, really? I was like, son, it's your life. My job is to make sure you're happy. It's your job to make sure you're happy. So if you're happy, I'm fine. And all of his friends accepted it too, which is, I thought, was remarkable for teenagers nowadays. We have a very understanding community. Of course, we have, you know, there's good and bad in every community, unfortunately.
Right. Of course, of course. And so, and that's really good that he had family acceptance. And you said that he carried the rainbow pride flag in was that the
that
dragon
the high
pride?
Okay. Yeah, dragon pride. It wasn't even officially set to do this. They just grabbed it. They all lined up, and they walked out through the student parking lot where the seniors, everybody applauded them and clapped, and then got back into the school part, the courtyard. And, you know, he had the freshmen and sophomores. They were booing and hissing and stuff like that, but he held that up high and was very proud of it. Yeah, he's like, oh, they're young and stuff. And he was extremely, extremely proud of it. Matter of fact, going through my car, I even found his ribbon that he left in the car. I still think he actually may have left him for me and one of his bracelets.
Oh.
That was yesterday.
Wow.
He was very proud to help anybody and everybody. As all teenagers, you know, he thought, oh, see the amount of rioting on TV, he thought it was, oh, wow, look at that. That's brutal. But because I believe in protesting. And he would ask me what about different items. He's like, what do you think of gay rights? I just looked at him, and I go, there shouldn't be. He's like, what do you mean? I go, it should be equal rights. Why do we have to label people?
Mm-hmm.
It's as long as anybody, whatever the lifestyle is, as long as they're happy, that's what society is all. And he just smiled, he's all. Exactly. Why do we have to fight for our rights? And I just told him, son, you don't have to. You shouldn't have to.
Right. No. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it sounds like, you know, Adam had a great deal of what we call family acceptance, right, of knowing that your family supports you. And a lot of times we hear stories of folks like young children who can't make it, like Leela Alcorn, whose families were not supportive of them being transgender, of course, different from being bisexual, right? But in the same vein of saying, wow, this is a really serious pain that other families are going through, losing children, what would you say to a family member who did accept or didn't accept, right? What would you say to that parent who's also lost a child like you have? What would you say?
If for a parent who's lost a child like me, I can say I feel that pain. There's no greater pain in the world than losing your child. I ache every day. I don't leave my house. I stay here. I know he's not coming home, but part of me keeps hoping that it's a bad dream. lately, I'm trying to focus on his memories because of the fighting and the harassment and everything I get from everybody. Focus on your child's memory. And for those who have a child that say they're bisexual, transgender, gay, lesbian, whatever, I go, don't judge them. Just stay like it. Ask them. Accept them. You have one job. I have two jobs. Keep your child safe. And make sure your child's happy. If your child says they want to harm themselves, don't take it for granted. Every parent did. I did it first. I'll admit it. But first hospital stay, it was real, and I started doing my study, and I started being there for my child. The job is to be there for your child. Don't take it even to say, oh, no, I'm joking. Don't believe him. Go get him help. I see so many kids, especially here lately, wanting to end their life, want a good, because their parents aren't there for them. Young lady last night, saying how her parents say she's the family whore. As a young child, you don't say that to your child ever. You get your child help. She stated she wanted to take her life last night. We sat and messaged back and forth for about 2 hours and stuff, and you can start to tell in her writing and everything else, you know, lighting up and everything. I couldn't get the town she lived in, so I could call to get her some help. Mm-hmm. But she's still here today, because I've already seen her out there on Facebook. But this young girl's been through horrific stuff, and the family doesn't want to believe it. It's like, well, there's sometimes whether we want to believe it or not, we have to act on it to make sure our child's safe. Mm-hmm. And if you don't act on it, you're part of the problem.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think one of the hardest parts for a lot of young, you know, whether it's bisexual or LGBT, but especially for bi kids, is that there's not a lot of understanding of bisexuality. So we have a recent report from the Human Rights Campaign that details that bisexual teens are the least happy out of lesbian, gay, and bisexual teens, right, which includes trans teens, right, and many of the kids that we've lost have been both bi and trans or bisexual recently, right? We've lost, it's four teens in the last, 12 weeks and 6 days, might be 13 weeks now. I'm keeping a tally. And what we recommend a lot of times in our community is that, you know, you connect with the bi community and get support. Binet USA is there. We've got an 800 number. We've got a website. We've got a Facebook group. You know, we try to get people in the door into this giant community. A lot of people don't know the reach that Binet USA has. I think, Lynette, we're still compiling all these lists, bisexuals love lists, but I think we've got about 80,000 people that we connect with on a regular basis when it comes to the Binet USA's social media system, right? So when we talk about trying to connect folks, you know, there's the Bisexually Aware Therapist Zone. You know, if I had been able to contact with Adam Kaiser, right, before he passed, what would I have done, right? What would Faith Cheltenham, Binet USA president, have tried to think to do for a bullied kid, right? We would have said, oh, okay, here's the connections. We have a K-12 specialist who can give you some ideas, the rights that you have. You've got a legal group, the National Center for Lesbian Rights, that can advocate for kids who are being bullied and are unsafe in schools. We've got the Safe Schools Project. Right, there are a lot of different connections that the bisexual community may not be aware of, and their parents certainly are not. So I wanted to ask you, Mr. Kaiser, what kind of help and support did you try to get Adam? You know, and what was the result of trying to get that help for him?
Well, originally, Adam got into the schools have been no help at all, and I'm a blunt person. They flat out lied about knowing anything, but I have written proof in my son's writing about when he sought help at the school. I've called the school. I've gotten Adam in different programs. One was called Seneca Program. It's they support the families and youths having trouble, and it's usually a 3-month program. We voluntarily kept it going for a year and a half. They were phenomenal. Many hospital stays, but in the state of California, it's a Band-Aid. They keep you 3, maybe 8 days. Sometimes, or occasionally, they keep you 10, and they give you a pill and send you home. Mm-hmm. That's it. I've gone as far as I went to CPS myself to get my son help, because he didn't like taking his medications. They wouldn't listen that they're not working. You know, side effects that they had when they'd give him another pill for that side effect. You know, there's out there on 9, 10 pills. for the side effects. No, it's buying a pill that works for him. CPS wouldn't listen to my son. His needs. They wouldn't listen to me. That was actually, quote-unquote, told the lady. I won't say her name, no, cause I don't know if it's legal now. Her name is Larissa. Said, well, I've been doing this 15 years. I think I know a little bit more what he needs than you. And I stated, I've been raising him for 16 and a half. I know what's going to happen. He's going to run away from the place he was in, a place called Valley of the Moon, which is also, from what I understand, being sued on a class action lawsuit for abuse against children. That was filed May 18th of this year. And wouldn't listen to us. They lied to us and everything. And I told her, I go, I know my son. He's going to run away. He's going to be off his medications. He's going to harm himself, cut himself, attempt suicide, or he's going to succeed. She kept going and going. And while he's in their custody, he cut himself. They took him to Sonoma County Psych Emergencies. The Sonoma County Deputy Sheriffs did. After this, we do all the legal aspects, go gather up reports and stuff. Some of them are not wanting to give them to me. I was like, well, there's one or two ways to give me all of his records.
That's right. That's right.
You guys have this misconception that a minor can sign a legal document or anything. They can't. That's what the court system did. The railroad and says, well, you're going to say so. I was like, I'm his custodial parent. He was 12 at the time.
Oh.
He's been his 15th birthday in juvenile hall.
Oh. The system just really...
It's horrible.
Totally fails. And when he was in juvenile hall, did he get any kind of, like, counseling or anything?
They don't believe he really got anything. There was nurses checked in with him, this kind of thing. He was even harassed by the correctional officers in there as... He told me where, they talk down to him like he's trash and stuff. And I understand they're not there to be friends, but they are children.
Exactly.
Children need support. He'd be eating his lunch or dinner, whichever it was. One of the correction officers came up, turned his back to the table, and passed gas right there.
Oh, awesome.
That is...
No, and that's terrible.
Yeah.
That's...
He was traumatized over that.
That's awesomely terrible, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. It's awesome in its terribleness of, like, how ridiculous.
Yeah, that's what I think I meant. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it.
No, I got it. I totally got it. I was just wanting to make sure. Because I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I just
That's a good point, though, Lynette, about no counseling, right, in juvenile hall, of, like, that being a social justice issue when it comes to prison reform, right? And asking for the prison and juvenile system, detention system to create some real change there. Right, we actually know that for immigrants who get detained, it's hard. Or if they're lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender, and a lot of people are asking for the release of those immigrants because they're unsafe and they usually are subject to sexual assault. They're subject to assault and bullying and harassment by both the guards and people who aren't. So, for you as Adam's dad, like, what was that time like for you when he was in juvenile? Like,
it was horrible. It was he was in there all through the holidays and everything else, and people got a little mad at me because they couldn't understand, like, Thanksgiving. I wouldn't celebrate Thanksgiving because my son couldn't celebrate it. I remember Christmas that year. He was in juvenile hall, so I sat in my living room. My other kids were their mother, and because I'm divorced, obviously you know that. I sat there with the lights off. I spent the whole day. I did not celebrate that day because my child couldn't celebrate it.
It was
horrible. It doesn't compare to now, but... and I'll be honest, I don't see myself celebrating any holidays this year. And stuff, because if my child can't, I can't. I won't. They come first. And unfortunately,
right.
I don't do think that way nowadays. They think that, I understand, the parents have to be happy for the kids to be happy, but if the kids aren't happy, the parents still aren't going to be happy.
Right. And as far as, when one of the, I think I talked to you, Mr. Kaiser, about, the case of Cece McDonald in Minnesota, who was a trans woman who was walking down the street and having a good time with her friends and was harassed and eventually attacked by a man who did not like that she was transgender. And she fought back in the fight, wasn't going to allow herself to be murdered, and unfortunately was arrested for it, was put in jail after being attacked and almost killed. And eventually, only recently, was she released after a long campaign to obtain her release by the transgender and especially the black transgender community. So I want to ask you, like, you know, from your perspective, you know, was your son in juvenile hall, or, you know, what was the circumstances that led to that? I think you discussed that with me. It sounded a little bit like he went to juvie for beating up his own bullies. Is that
He was 12 years old. He went to school, local school here. And these bullies, we've only moved back. I'm from Sonoma, but we lived in Wyoming, where there's no gangs. They don't have any issues there or anything. We came back out here because I was born and raised here, and I loved my town, and I thought it would be great to raise my kids here. We even looked into my childhood home, but it turned out a multi-million-dollar home now, so yeah, that didn't happen. But anyway, he's getting bullied by these two kids, and of course they're minors, so I can't state their names. And I won't because became friends with one of them. But at 12 years old, that happened. I went to the school and to the principal. Even I can't remember if it was a librarian, and one of the teachers went to the principal too about it. And the principal told us, "No, it's not bullying. It's just kids." It's like when those two kids going after him every day, that's bullying. But it's physical, mental, verbal. It's bullying, plain and simple. Because he was a small kid. Well, one day they both came after him, wanting to beat him up. He held one kid down, and which I was actually very pleased with. And throwing that too. Also, Adam was a graduate of the D.A.R.E. program because he wanted to go through it. He held the kid down and goes, "You squash it, I squash it, we walk away." One kid said, "Okay," and he did. The other kid threw off his backpack, swung back to hit him, and this is from the kid that he got in the altercation with. He turns out he's a really good kid. They became friends later on. Adam grabbed him, they slipped on the grass, and punches were thrown. My son had the upper hand, you know, beat him up. They arrested him, said, because, oh, he's so angry. I said, well, he's a 12-year-old boy. They're both mad, you know, and they got in a fight. It's two little kids at recess fighting. It's a jungle gym. Come on, really? You take 6 hours, you don't tell us. My son's crying, and my son told me this. Kept asking for them to call me, and they wouldn't. That was Sonoma Police Department and the school. They went as far to say the other boy had a level 5 concussion. Well, I tell everybody, go Google that. There's no such thing. It goes up to level 3, and it's recommended not to use that chart. So they originally filed charges, which, you know, at his age, which still would have gave him 27 years in prison. A 12-year-old boy that probably weighed 90 pounds. If that.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So he was arrested. Or, I mean, because he was getting picked on. Were these kids picking on him then at that time?
Yeah.
Or were they just, you know, I mean, it's hard for you now, of course, to kind of look at that in hindsight and stuff. Of course, I know. But it's just as far as the system place, you know, that's kind of what I'm focused on, is thinking about where the society failed. And it sounds like instead of assessing him as a kid who was getting picked on, who was being violently bullied and experiencing a lot of stress and a lot of trauma repeatedly at school, you know, it was, let's add some more trauma into your life by putting you into the juvenile hall system.
Exactly.
Right? Which
they,
they
turned their back on him. The other
right.
one of the kids is, one was Hispanic, which doesn't matter, okay, but they're afraid, you know, Hispanic community, there'll be, you know, it's racial or discrimination, which I can understand because they are discriminated against, unfortunately. They
right.
are, to an extent. But in our society, everybody is nowadays, depending whether you're bi, your ethnicity, whatever. You're
yeah.
you know, discriminated.
There's a lot of hate out there, right? I mean, and that's something that, you know, we want to decrease the amount of, right? And acknowledge that, you know, for black and brown people, you know, the system's going to be even worse, right? But I think that's kind of important to acknowledge that, like, Adam was white, right? Like, he was a white man, a white boy in America. And from everything we see, Adam, you know, story should have been quite different, right? So
right.
we can
Everybody
acknowledge
should.
That for a kid who's black or a kid who's transgender and black, or that their story is going to be even worse, right? That can be acknowledged, all while saying, like, come on, like, look at this great, you know, kid that looks like America, right? He looks
right.
like a lot of Americans out there. I'm sure there's a lot of people whose kids have, like, hundreds of bracelets on, and they're all going, what should I do with these bracelets they keep giving me, you know? And for you, you've been like, keep the bracelets. Make sure you tell your kid they're important, right? So I
exactly.
think that's the most interesting thing to me in some regards, is that we can come across the aisle, right? Like, I, you know, have, I think, created a friendship with you, Mr. Kaiser, You know, and I'm a hardcore Democrat who loves Obama and the president, Mr. President. And, you know, you're a Republican who maybe, you know, what did you say? You didn't vote for him, but you think he's a nice guy with his kids, right?
Right. He may not do the best job in my eyes, but as a person, I think he's a pretty good guy. I mean, I would hang out with him.
And political differences aside, it doesn't matter when it comes to your kids, right?
Right.
And yeah, all three of us on this call, Lynette, you're also a parent, right? How many kids do you have, Lynette?
I have three daughters, all grown.
All grown.
And four grandchildren.
And four grandchildren. I've got two. I've got the three-year-old Storm and my seven-year-old stepdaughter, Cadence. And Mr. Kaiser, Adam had some siblings. Can you give us their names so everybody knows?
Oldest one, Bobby Jean.
Mm-hmm.
She's an adult now. She's actually be 20 on the 21st of July.
Okay.
Yeah, this is his brother. I'm a surviving son now, Cameron. And my little girl, he's 15, and my little girl is 14, Allison. Who are very supportive of the bi community, pride community, everybody. They all are.
Good,
my oldest one is actually, I think she's carrying the bi flag he sent us in the 4th of July parade in his honor. And we're also taking the pride flag. And some people are saying, well, you shouldn't do that. It's like, why? People aren't here. People need to hear it.
Right.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Visibility.
Visibility is so important. So, so important.
Yeah, and we've got quite a few people, sounds like, from my community that's supporting it, even the mayor of Sonoma.
Yeah, how did that meeting go when you went
to the city
council?
That one, it was just
a
dedication. He dedicated the meeting in my son's honor and our honor. On July 6th, we go back to the city council meeting. He wanted more time because he don't want to just read some stuff off. He wanted to put a whole thing together in Adam's name. He will have his day. I'm not sure if it's June or July. Will be dedicated to anti-suicide month in his name.
Mm-hmm.
Also be Pride Month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sorry, I'm bad with the initials. I'm old.
It's LGBT.
Thank you. The whole month is dedicated.
There's so many letters, though, that are super important. So, like, usually it depends. Like, there's... So we kind of acknowledge a lot of different names in the bi community. I'll talk about pansexual. I'll talk about fluid. We'll talk about asexual, aromantic, biromantic. You know, there's a lot of different communities out there and people, and it's kind of cool. And I think people Adam's age are really thinking about how they can have different names and call themselves. But I'm sure for parents, it's like, you know, you're kind of like, well, I don't know. Okay. But I love your response, which was, what did you say to Adam? You said, it doesn't matter as long as you're happy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Many times I told him that.
Right.
That's fantastic.
And that's, like, you keep telling parents, it's not about us. Our job is to protect our kids and make sure they're happy. If they're happy, they're protected.
Exactly. Exactly. It isn't about us. It's about them.
There's a young lady in our community, one of my daughter's best friends. They used to hate each other, fight all the time. One teacher, principal in this school district, and I'll say the school is at Prestwood Elementary, instead of suspending them or anything like that, she made these two girls go in the office and work together until they learned to get along. To this day, my daughter and that girl are like sisters. They're either at my house or my daughter's at their house. They just inseparable. Then one girl came out and says, well, I'm bi. Her dad's all, oh, you're just a phase. You know what you're talking about. I give her 6 months. I just looked at her and said, don't take it for granted. Just ask her. Make sure she's happy. So, well, she'll get over this. Like, you know, if she does, if it's a fad, which, you know, it happens, okay, that's one thing. But we don't know that. It's not our place to judge it. It's our place to make sure they're happy and they're safe. And you criticizing her on it is not making her happy. It's not making her safe.
We need to validate our children.
Yes. We need to stand behind them, be on their side.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. My son was a normal boy. Yeah, he was buying them. Proud that he came out and he told me. I'm very honored that he told me. There you go. My son loved playing airsoft, played in the tournaments and stuff. Great. He loved kickboxing. His first match, I still have his big 2-foot-long trophy. He won first place. But
that's
he wouldn't.
Fantastic.
But he couldn't hurt people. He said he felt bad because he won. I'm like, why'd you feel bad? He's because I don't like hurting people. I saw his eyes. I feel bad for him.
Uh-oh.
And he kept you know, active in all kinds of stuff. I knew, you know, he liked cross country. And as a parent, which, you know, kind of feel bad for him, and we all do this, going through his belongings, which is a very hard thing, I found 5 gold medals, 1 silver medal, and 1 bronze medal for track and field.
Oh.
I forgot all about him. He had plucked him away because some people didn't. So are you just a jock? I was like, wow, it just doesn't mean you, that means you were good at it. He loved music. He was self-taught on the guitar, never took a single lesson, learned himself. He listened to a song, within 5-10 minutes, he could have it down and play it.
Mm. Wow.
He was amazing.
Wonderful.
Very intelligent. We had him tested for an IEP. His grades were bad. This was when, I believe he was, this last year, before the school year started, they did an IEP on him. He would have been, yeah. And, they said he reached 4th year college in his reading, his math, and everything else. He's just extremely intelligent. Don't know where he got it, but he's extremely intelligent. He had his goals. He wanted the military, but because of his mental illness and stuff, the military was out of the question. Then he thought about the Job Corps. You know, he wanted to be a nurse, but because of mental illness, of course, they turned their back on him, too. You know, just another nail in there to him. So we were going to, that's when we went to CPS to get help. Had a setup. He was going to go to school. He wanted to be a nurse, an RN nurse, and work in a psych ward to help him. As Faith knows, he went on himself. I never talked to him about it, but he went online and registered as an organ donor. He's very proud of it. And I told him, "Why am I 2 Sony's out?" And big smile. Still remember. Sorry.
It's okay.
He was very proud of it. When he passed away, he saved people's lives. Even after passing, that was my son's goal, was to save people and help others. And that's what he told me over and over. My son kept detail of his, everything going on. I have about 14 journals of his that I've been slowly going through. There's some good times in there, some great times. It was unimaginable what this boy went through, the detail that he kept for everything. Names, chat logs, people bullied him. He took screenshots and kept them. And those all coming out. Faith has seen them with the names and everything else. Stuff that, you know, parents take for granted. And I'm sure I took part of it for granted. Yeah, as a parent, because growing up in my era, we didn't go through the turmoil. We didn't have social media. And stuff.
Yes.
And, you know, instead of having one kid picking on you, maybe two, now you have a whole society. It could be nationwide. People picking up.
Yeah. Yes.
And everybody wants to turn their backs. They don't want to discipline their kids, this and that. It's like, you know, I don't believe in beating your kid by all means, but when they're younger, then I'm going to be needed, ground them, and then sit and talk with them. I said, this is why. You know, people, you hear them say, oh, I'm grounded for, kids say, I'm grounded for 2 weeks because I did this and that. I don't even agree with that. My kids have always been, if they did something wrong, they're grounded. All right. For, it depends on their actions, how long they're grounded. If you're grounded for 2 weeks, they're going to figure, well, I'm already in trouble. So I act up all I want. Well, that's why that doesn't work. You ground them until they show, okay, I learned my lesson, I'm sorry, you let them out. Therefore, my kids are very respectful to the people. They don't go around and bully people or anybody else. My remaining son, he'll stick up for anybody. You know, Harvey, my daughter, she'll go stick up for anybody as long as they're right. And I don't like it, but even if a family member is wrong, she'll stick up for the other person and stand up and say, look, we're wrong, and tell you. And she's only 14. It's an amazing young lady. So I won't punish her for, you know, she stands against me on beliefs on my dad. So, well, I want you to believe in yourself. You're doing the right thing. Because even parents are wrong.
Okay, let's go ahead. Is there anything else you'd like to add today, Mr. Kaiser? Or Bill?
Just want everybody to wake up, quit labeling each other and being hateful because of, you know, what people decide. It's their lives, as long as they're happy. That's all that matters. The bullying, discrimination, the racism, it all needs to stop. Because even you kids out there, you know, you're going to have kids someday. and you're going to go through what all these other kids are going to go through. Take a stand. Don't stay against bullying. Prove that you're against bullying. Doesn't mean go out there and fight somebody. It means go out there and push for change. Be active. Quit saying you're against it. That doesn't do anything. Doesn't do anything at all. I'm against it, but I also prove that I'm against it. That's why we have our group Courage. We've taken a stand against bullying and holding anybody and everybody accountable for it. For every action, there's a repercussion for it.
Thank you. And Faith, would you like to add anything today?
You know, I just want to remark on, you know, the honor it is for us to have this conversation with you, Mr. Kaiserville, and to witness, to bear witness to your pain and your grief, right? And in a way that is very instructional, right? Like, what do we need to do to save the bisexuals, right? To save our kids, to save our youth, to save our adults, our elders, right? Well, we need to ask for certain things, mental health, right? I mean, it sounds like if Adam had gotten counseling in juvenile hall, it might have helped. It might have assisted him a great deal, right? To see mental health continue, to not be released after repeat attempts, to be taken seriously, in need of resources, and support from a justice system, right? So I kind of just want to acknowledge that importance to our entire community. And my hope, I'm sure it's Lynette's hope, as well as our community's hope, that Adam's story will be a lightning bolt, will be a lightning rod to create change for not just bi teens, not just lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, intersex, asexual, or queer communities, gender nonconforming, or any of the many people that we have that are in our community, right? It's not just for those folks. We're actually, I think, able to think about change for all children, right? To say that every single kid in America deserves to have a protection from bullies, deserves to be protected from cyberbullying. The likes that, you know, I have rarely seen. Some of the screenshots that you've sent me are just horrific, right? So we know that these are things that have to change. So I just want to thank you, and Mr. Kaiser and the Kaiser family, and I want to thank Adam for being this amazing, amazing person that I'm so sorry to only have met after he left. Right. But I'm so happy that we can provide some support and show our love for him by showing it to you and to your family and to the community that's grieving around him. So we send so much love to you. Sending it from California. And Lynette, I think you're in Oregon, right?
Yes, I am.
Always Portland, Oregon. Portland. And I always think Portland's its own state, to be honest. But okay. It's another issue of the bi-cast. So yeah, that's all I had to say.
I wanted to touch on one thing about the counseling too. People aren't aware of out there, which needs to be changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sure people, most medical insurance do not cover mental illness nowadays. To put your child in the proper treatment, it will cost you $20,000 to $40,000 a month in the state of California. Now Wyoming has one there. It doesn't matter how much money you can. Kid can have $1 million. You're in there until you're well. And stuff. Why can't California adopt something like that? If they had something like that, I'm a firm believer my son would be here. Not a bad.
So what we really should be talking about is doing something that is nationwide on a federal level to protect our children, to ensure they get enough help.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Wyoming Behavioral Institute, phenomenal place, Adam, one day. It was great. It turned them around big time. It's ridiculous. What family has $20,000 to $40,000 a month extra? I'm sure there are. Mine don't. I don't.
Most people don't know.
No.
You know,
yeah,
these group homes they put him in, he was in for a year and a half, he was abused in that group home. Yeah, there's counseling and everything. But when you had the staff ridiculing him.
Yes.
Yeah.
They were actually so bad. They were shut down because they're so.
Yeah, that just continues the PTSD to the entire thing, and that is not going to help at all.
No, and it helps explain those high rates of mental health issues that bi teens experience. You know, Bill, in the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender community that we're part of, there's a lot of information about bisexual health disparities. There's a lot of knowledge that bi people are hurting, and there's a lot of confusion as to why that's happening, right? And there's very much like this, well, we just don't know what's going on in you guys' lives, right? And people really don't, right? They don't know the complicated history of a person who gets victimized or beat up in one state, moves to a different state, gets beat up or victimized there. Those are the stories that a lot of bi people do have, and they share that for, you know, getting picked on because they're different, right? For somebody
yes.
acknowledging that. So I think it's a very, I think, again, we're so lucky to have Adam's story, you know, in the sense that we didn't not find out about him. He didn't just go without, he didn't go quietly, right? He didn't go silently. You are here as his standard bearer and carrying his memory, and we are fighting for him. We are fighting for Blake and Taylor and Alyssa and the teens that we've lost. You know, just those are the just those teens and Adam we've lost in just the last 3 months, right? Who are bi, pan, half of them were transgender. You know, they were kids in states across the country. So I definitely think that we have some questions. We have some big demands to start asking of the federal government when it comes to bisexual specific work, right? That really, again, is going to tie back to the rights of kids, right? And we ally with other organizations and other communities on that. So,
It comes down to, you know, a person's, you know, gender choice and all that. It doesn't matter. What this is, it's racism. It's plain and simple. Racism isn't necessarily a skin color or anything like that.
Right. Well, I think what the word you're looking for, too, is more of it's just like racism. It's systemic oppression, right? It's oppression,
yes.
right? It's,
yes.
It's taking just like what racism does. Racism says you're worth nothing. We're not going to care. We just aren't going to do. And that's going to happen for people based off their class. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you guys had, if the Kaiser family was loaded, you know, we probably wouldn't be having this conversation, right? Is that fair that the people who don't have money lose their children? No, absolutely not. And I can't believe that anybody would say that, right? So when it comes down to it, the oppression is something that everybody gets a taste of, right? Now,
well, here's one that people aren't going to believe it. They say, oh, no, money doesn't make a difference on how somebody acts. Well, here's a short story for you. This is in my town, around the same time that Adam originally got in trouble. A girl was on a school bus. She was drunk, had hash on her, and everything else. All right. You know what happened to her? Not a single thing, because her family is a well-known family and has money.
Mm.
But yet, my son steps up to a bully, family doesn't have money, and gets arrested and put away for almost 2 years.
Right. Mm. Yes.
So people want to think that money doesn't play a factor. Yes, it does play a factor. Big factor.
Mind if I go ahead and wrap this up now? Or
go ahead. I think we thank you so much, Lynette, for bringing us in for the call and having us on.
Oh, absolutely. I just want to remind everyone, you're not wrong. You're not broken. You are not alone. You are just a human being, and you are bisexual. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Lynette. Thank you, Faith.
Thank you both. Thank you.
The views expressed on the Bicast do not necessarily represent those of Binet USA or the Bicast crew.